I've got chills all the way down into my plums.
Jeez, you sound weird today, and
I know.
So do I.
Is like, that microphone a little staticky?
What the hell is going on today?
What happened to the microphones over the weekend?
Oh, man.
I'm going to have to move.
I don't know what the heck that is. Now, I think I'm starting to sound a little bit better on microphone here. You start talking into yours today as we try to figure this thing out on the fly. Welcome
I don't know.
Huh?
Is it still, it sounds like I'm like...
Kind of it sounds like you're in like a tin can or something like that. I don't know. What does it sound like to you?
I don't know. It definitely sounds bad.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, so,
mine sounds terrible as well. So I don't know what functions.
This might get weird. I'm going to move.
All right. You go move and we'll get this thing started today because, boy, it is a great day to wake up this morning in Kansas City and be ready to kind of conquer what's going to come at you over the next couple of days. It's going to come fast. It's going to come furious. And boy, oh boy, are we in for one hell of a ride. Dusty, you got that mic working over there today?
Probably not.
Doesn't sound like that mic. Oh, wait.
Did it sound good?
No, it does not sound good
sounds
at
bad
all.
Too?
Yeah, sounds bad as well.
So
yeah.
I should hop to another one?
Yeah, try another one, man. They're all kind of sounding really bad today. So I guess we'll just kind of motor the boat through this thing and try to figure out what's going to work and what's not going to work today as we...
Still sound bad?
You're not on the microphone. No, you know, got to turn that thing on.
Oh, yeah. No, that's on all the way.
Oh, that's on all the way.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, great. What about these two over here? I was told we were getting new microphones, you know, in the studio. So I don't know what the case may be and what's going on with that, but I hear a tapping.
So this one's better?
A little bit better.
We sat right over here?
Yeah.
You want to do the show like this?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to the round table.
I know you're still a little overmodulated though, and I'm a little undermodulated. Like, it doesn't feel like the right microphones are on for what we were trying to accomplish today, right? Like, it feels like I'm talking on that microphone versus this microphone. So bear with us today. Spectre was in here messing with things. We can blame him for the reason why. Like, Dusty sounds totally loud and overmodulated and whatnot. But anyway, let's delve into to what's going on. Because we got a lot going on today, Dusty. And as you said to me before the show, like, this is your last day of rest for the week.
Pretty much, right?
Like,
yeah,
tomorrow we got playoff baseball beginning at 3 o'clock. And then Wednesday, we've got playoff baseball around 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, depending on what happens Monday and Tuesday, we'll have 3 o'clock baseball again or not. Mm-hmm. And then we roll into the weekend with the Chiefs getting ready for a Monday night game against the New Orleans Saints. And so there's a lot going on over these next couple of days and a lot of fun, man. Like, if you're not waking up this morning, pinching yourself going, where the hell am I, as we just listened to that wild card game finish up and how great that was, right? How fun that was to kind of listen back, you know, the big hit and Cologne scores, and we both looked at each other and go, 10 years later, brother, we still have goosebumps over that wild card game. Like, you could just feel the emotion come out of your skin as Cologne was getting ready to score. It was quite a night out at Kauffman Stadium that night, and we're getting ready to start this thing again, and I couldn't be more excited at playoff baseball back in Kansas City, because there's nothing better in sports, in my opinion, than playoff baseball.
Yeah, there's a fully loaded show today. We have memories from those actual moments in that game from Royals members around that team during that year. I think we got, Ned?
Yeah.
We've got Ryan Lefevre, obviously. You just heard call that amazing call.
Mm-hmm.
Pedro Grifol will be part of this program as well, and Gene Watson as well will be a part of this. And, you know, all of this gets to be parlayed after, the ugliest win in Chiefs franchise.
Maybe
in the last
it's been a while. Yeah.
So, you know, bear with us as we're trying to do our best in this morning with this situation we've been thrown into.
Right.
But you know, when you lose a receiver, you lose a microphone. It's next mic up.
Next mic up.
My microphone is on the IR currently, but you know, here we go. But no, I think you're right. I think what I told you is what I was driving and thinking about. I was like, you know what? Today's kind of the last, you know, sports day where you don't have to worry about emotions. You don't have to worry about, you know, you're coming off a win against a division opponent on the road. You're 4-0. Buffalo came back down to earth last night.
Oh, God. They finally played a good team and got shellacked, didn't they?
If that's the Ravens team moving forward, I'm glad we played them when we did.
Yes, sir, Bob.
Tiebreaker over them. Buffalo is now one loss behind you. The one seat is in your grasp after the first kind of the first quarter
kind of
the
first
season.
Quarter. Yeah, we'll go with it.
So, you know, it's a big day for the Chiefs. We'll dive into what it means. Obviously, you watched the game. Everybody else watched the game. We all saw the Rashee Rice information. We'll await the actual confirmation. But when Andy Reid is as verbal as he was, and I know that he's not a huge fan of those, you know, at the end of the quarter interviews or into the half. And when he tells Tracy Wolfson, it's not good.
Right.
It's like, okay, you know, normally Andy Reid will give you right away like, hey, here's the deal. We're going to evaluate him. We're going to hope he's all right. And then, you know, we'll get more information when it's needed. When he's raw and straight to the point, that's all the information I need to know.
Yeah.
When my dad texted me, he's like, what's the deal about Rice? Is it as bad as we think? I was like, I would assume for the worst.
Yeah, you got to assume for the worst. And I heard from somebody in the organization late last night who just said, we're just devastated for the kid. Like, just absolutely devastated for him because he was on this trajectory, as we talked about all year long, how great he was going to be. And he was living up to all of the billing. And now, because of an interception by Mahomes, and then Mahomes takes him out. You know, like, the friendly fire thing is the one that really bothers you. You know, that's the part that really bothers you on all of this, that it ended up being, you know, the friendly fire from Patrick Mahomes that essentially ended his season and, you know, took out the best wide receiver. And so now they're going to have to find a way to adjust. And you know what? This team has always found ways to adjust. And I'd rather have something catastrophic, if you even want to call it that, happen at this point of the season than what if you're going rolling into December, right? And your game plan's in place. Now they have a couple of months to figure it out before the real stuff begins. Hopefully Hollywood Brown speeds up his recovery and his return. And you know, the Chiefs may really truly have to look around and decide if they're going to go out on the trade market and see if they can acquire somebody to kind of fill in, because as we saw yesterday, Sky Moore is not that answer anymore, right? Like, he's a guy that probably is not going to get. Yeah.
I mean, when did it start?
When they drafted him, I guess, you know, they thought he'd be something, but I mean, that ball's thrown right to your hands yesterday. You got to find a way to catch that. But we did see Xavier Worthy again yesterday. I mean, that guy's just phenomenal. Not just the touchdown pass, but the game clinching catch that he had yesterday was wild. Travis Kelce, Todd McShay, thank you. Hope you're doing okay this morning, because Travis Kelce came. And he played big yesterday when this team needed him. Kareem Hunt was outstanding yesterday when this team needed him, and they gutted out a win. And you know, that's what this is about. If anybody can figure out this crap right now with Rashee Rice down, it's going to be Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Matt Nagy, and the rest of this team. And so, you know, it is a devastating injury. His knee was in a brace when he was carted to the bus yesterday, from what I was told. So it's not going to be good news. I don't think they're planning on having Rashee Rice back until sometime in 2025. And that's the way, as fans, you know, we've got to approach it, Dusty. We can't sit here and go, oh, if we had Rashee Rice, we don't have Rashee Rice anymore. The good news is we're getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire back this week, so that's a potential, you know, weapon you can add into your offense, and things are just going to look different, and we're going to be relying on this unbelievable defense, I think, a lot more than fans wanted to this year. This is a defensive first team now, and as long as this defense continues to play like it is, the offense doesn't have to go out there and score 35 points a game, and that's a good thing, and that's a great thing, actually, because this defense is playing phenomenal right now. Yesterday, tip your cap to Spags. I mean, that defensive effort yesterday, they gave him a touchdown on the first drive, and that was it, folks. That was all they gave up yesterday. They were phenomenal. They keep playing like this, and the offense is just going to have to find a way to score 20, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, the defense in that game reminded me a lot of the defense in that Miami game last year in Germany, where they had a scoop and score, and they scored, and I was kind of, you know, advocating for that. This was going to be one of those games where it's like, you know, Spags, you have to look at Andy and be like, you know, take this one off. You got to pretty big blow to start your game, and I know that resets your entire offensive strategy moving forward, and that's exactly what this defense did, man. Like, the first drive, like always, they bend, they gave up the touchdown, and then it was 3 points after that, and then they never saw it again, and we saw how frustrating this defense was causing headaches for Justin Herbert, who threw his helmet against the bench. That's now the second quarterback in 4 weeks that you've never really seen. And that's what I kind of took away from the defense yesterday, is there's a lot to dive into this game as we begin this show here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, is that, you know, last year there was a lot of frustration shown from Patrick Mahomes, and it was because of the drop passes, and it was because of the, you know, the miscommunication on offense, and eventually it broke Patrick Mahomes. No doubt about it. I think if you asked him that question, you know, did you get broken last year? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You know, the Buffalo game really hurt when we got that call, that play turned back because of an offsides call. But, you know, you've now seen this defense, you know, lose some key players. Right? Willie Gay, maybe not the biggest, but we've seen that kind of hurt in the tight end game.
I saw his name pop on the bottom line yesterday. I'm like, I'd like to have him back. You
you'll see him this week. You'll see him a week from tonight.
That's right, yeah.
And then the other thing, too, is that, like, you're seeing Joe Burrow, who's always been Joe Cool, lose his temperature. And then yesterday, he had his little temperature tantrum on the sideline, too, looking at his tab after he threw an interception. And then Justin Herbert yesterday, right? Threw his helmet against the bench. I've never seen Herbert act like that.
I never saw any emotion out of Justin Herbert ever.
Ever. And that was... that was a game where I think truly in my mind, I don't think the conversation happened realistically, but that's one of those games where, like, Andy kind of gave Spags that look and just was like, hey, I need you. You know, that, to give it a Royals comparison that we'll do all week and all day, is that this is one of those games where Spagnuolo was Seth Lugo or Cole Reagans and said, hey, I know I'm not going to get a whole lot of offense, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to pitch 8 innings. I'm going to give up 1 run and I'm going to strike out 9. Just don't, you know,
just don't break.
Don't fumble the ball in offense. Don't turn the ball over. Have methodical drives. I'll take care of the rest. And that's what happened yesterday. This defense was needed. It was a major part in this win. And I think throughout the year, you're going to have those moments where it's going to be like, hey, we need Spags to draw something up, because as soon as he figured out that they were going to have Rashee Rice and this offense would be a little bit different, it was that deep play to Worthy, and then it was like, all right, pin him back, get this injured quarterback rolling around, and stop the run. And they eventually stopped the run.
They did. They did a really nice job yesterday. Chris Jones was unbelievably awesome in that game yesterday. 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss. I mean, this guy was absolutely earning his money out there yesterday. I thought Chris Jones was phenomenal in that performance yesterday. But from my standpoint, is this is now a defensive first team, and it's no longer should be a surprise, I think, to people when this defense goes out there and plays well. 25 straight games holding opponents to 28 points or less. And in this day and age in the National Football League, as we like to talk about, that is a remarkable feat. They're going out there and they're stymieing the opposition, and so they're going to have to play big again, and you're going to have to get contributions from, you know, Xavier Worthy a lot sooner than you thought. The Kareem Hunt addition is probably going to go down as one of those where we look back and go, where would we have been without Kareem Hunt? Because what happens if you don't have Kareem Hunt in that game yesterday and Carson Steele fumbles again early on? Is Samaje Perine the answer to all your questions? I don't know that he is,
right,
you know, in that situation yesterday. So Kareem Hunt came in and he ran hard. He ran good in great situations. I thought it was a nice addition for the Chiefs yesterday to have Kareem Hunt. But the good news is you've got only 4 games now in the books, and you've got a lot of football left, and you've got a way to kind of hopefully evolve this offense, and they'll figure it out, because they did last year, right? When they didn't have wide receivers to count on last year, they found a way. They figured it out. It's what this team does, and having this head coach and having this quarterback and having the offensive staff that they do, I feel like they're going to get it figured out. Am I devastated? I don't know that I'm devastated. I don't like the loss, obviously, of Rashee Rice, because I thought he was going to be a phenomenal player. But by no means am I saying this team can't contend and win a Super Bowl now because they lost Rashee Rice. They didn't have many wide receivers at all last year, and they still found a way to win a Super Bowl. And so this organization knows how to adjust better than anybody else. They know how to pivot. They know how to change gears. And, you know, going back to last year, looking at last year now, that may be a big impact on what they do going forward this year. And now you know you can win games dinking and dunking it down the field.
You should really like your Andy Reid Coach of the Year favorite bet.
Because, I know, right?
I'll tell you this much, man. You lose your starting running back for the majority of the season. You lose your 2 starting wide receivers for the majority of the season. You are still
4-0.
You control the narrative in the AFC. You control the narrative in the AFC West. I don't understand how you can't give somebody like that the Coach of the Year honor.
Because Root Canales played well yesterday against the Bengals, I guess.
Enough.
But you've got a win against Baltimore, a win against Cincinnati, a win against Atlanta, and now a win against your biggest division rival, and you're 4-0. You haven't beaten teams like Buffalo's beaten in Miami and New England and turd birds like that. You've gone out there and so far have beaten the best competition of anybody in the NFL, and you're sitting at 4-0. It's wild, man. It is wild.
It's Bob Fesco. I'm Dusty Likens. Mac Morey as well, our executive producer here on Fesco and Dusty. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan.
I guess it sounds good to you guys, but to us, it just is brutal today. So
yeah, in my headset, it sounds like I've had a pack of heaters for the entire weekend.
Just sounds like you're off mic and in a can or something like that. So anyway, we'll figure it out.
We'll kick the can with that narrative.
Yeah.
Don't forget, which you probably haven't, the Royals are in the playoffs.
That's right.
We will have a watch party and everything. Cody and Gold will be live at Jefferson's in Lenexa for the Royals tomorrow and Wednesday. We'll be there. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to run 7 miles a day because I'm going to be eating wings for the next 48 hours. Shout out to my guy, Nick Price, up there at Jefferson's in Lenexa. So, come out and check us out. We'll be there for the game. Cody and Gold will be doing their show from there. Probably have a playoff song on deck. No pun intended. Actually, all the pun there is to be intended. So, but no, it's a fun time to be alive here in Kansas City. I haven't been a part of this in this position. I mean, I don't think a lot of people have, where you have a team in football that is 4-0 and predominantly, yes, the favorite in the AFC. How many AFC teams are undefeated right now?
How many AFC teams are undefeated? I think there's one that's undefeated right now, and it's right here in Kansas City, the Chiefs, yeah.
And then there's a playoff baseball team
that's
going to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
feels a lot like 2014 all over again.
A little bit, yeah.
Minus the football team being dominant.
Yeah, exactly. 2014, I thought, you know, the football team was just, you know, doing its thing. It was a 10-6 type of year, you know, that type of a deal in Kansas City. And the baseball team was one that everybody was watching, right? Like 10 years ago last night was the we're on to Cincinnati game for Bill Belichick, right? Where the Chiefs just absolutely dismantled the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football. And then they come in on Tuesday night and absolutely give us the game of our lives. I mean, I still don't know that we've seen a game in Kansas City better, you know, than that wild card game and everything that went along with it. That was 10 years ago tonight. And here we sit now on the doorstep of a workout day in Baltimore, a team that we beat 10 years ago to go to the World Series in the American League Championship Series. And so it's back to Baltimore. And I'll ask you this, because I don't know this, and maybe the text line can point it out as well. Why are the Royals such a big underdog in this series against the Baltimore Orioles? Because the way that I look at it is the Royals and Orioles are pretty similar, right? Each has really good starting pitching. Each has about two guys in the lineup that can beat you, and each is really struggling with their bullpen at this point in time. The Orioles are kind of limping in. They haven't had a 500 month or better since June, right? The Royals have had 2 7-game losing streaks over the last 5 weeks, so it's not exactly like the Baltimore Orioles are worlds better than the Royals. But by God, you look at the odds, Dusty. The Royals have the third lowest odds to win the World Series, and in tomorrow's game, the Royals are +155. That's a big underdog going into this game against the Baltimore Orioles. And for the life of me, I'm trying to figure out maybe why they're such an underdog going into the series, because I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I look at DraftKings right now. Royals +130 on the money line to win the game. Over-under in this game is 7. I think the only answer that I can honestly give you is inexperience.
Maybe.
But again, like, I don't know how much experience Baltimore really has.
Some from last year. But
yeah, I mean, they have Corbin Burns going against Cole Reagans. Right. I'll take Cole Reagans 10 out of 10 just because of what I've seen, what I know that he has. I think he's one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball. But again, it's a road playoff game.
Yeah. But Baltimore's not great at home. They're much better on the road this year.
And that's fair. I mean, enjoy it, you know, go take 2 out of 2, get out of there, get some extra rest, and then gear up for, you know, what'll probably be the Yankees.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think that there's probably a reason. I mean, Vegas gets a lot of things wrong sometimes.
Sure.
I mean, they got the Colorado line wrong against UCF, 14-point underdogs, and they ended up winning by more than 14.
Right.
We'll talk about that a little, or I will talk about that a little bit later. As, of course, I get attacked for my fandom for Colorado, but either way, I just, you know, I look at it as like, look, the Royals are a new up-and-coming team. They're on the road in the playoffs. If you love it so much, take the Royals on the money line.
You know, I bet the Royals to win the World Series on Friday. I got +3,100 odds. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take that. I threw $25 down. That's what I had in my FanDuel account. I get $775 if they win the World Series.
Why not?
Like, why wouldn't you bet that, right? Like, but I saw +155 on some odds that were emailed to us. I got, I think, the +140 last night on FanDuel. You mentioned +133. I'm just like, I'm trying to rationalize and wrap my head around why this team may be such a big underdog. And if you're going to tell me experience, fine, I guess, but you know, the last time the Royals went into the playoffs with no experience, they made it all the way to the World Series. And I'm trying to look at some of the, you know, the logic that people are using to kind of predict this, you know, postseason, and I'm like, none of these teams really scare me. The only team that scared me in this postseason, Dusty, quite honestly, was the team we avoided by not, you know, having to play the Houston Astros in the first round of the playoffs. Like, I did not want to see the Astros, and we don't. We get Baltimore. I think that's a great matchup for the Royals. I think that's a great way to get this postseason started against the Baltimore team that, I don't know, they beat up on the Twins in the last 3 games. They took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, so they won some games down the stretch, but it's not like they're playing great baseball right now, and it's not like they're world beaters. Houston would have given me a little pause. Baltimore doesn't scare me at all. I'm ready to go knock them off in 2 games and move on to New York, and let's see what we can do against the Yankees in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're taking in Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo game 1, game 2, and then if necessary, Michael Walker was announced as the third starter, and then Brady Singer obviously moved to the bullpen as Cotrero, Royals manager, had his reasons why. He says he can add a spark to that bullpen. He's fine. He's going to be okay in that role. So we'll see if that ever comes to the beat. But I mean, yeah, you got 3:08 on Tuesday, his first pitch. Vern's on deck show at 2:00 here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Royals baseball, Chiefs football, and Kansas City sports, K-State athletics as well. But we can get into a little bit of overreaction Monday, right? Like we always do this after a Chiefs game. I think where I can start is this is the perfect example, at least in my opinion, of sometimes my overreaction is sometimes you're going to need Spags in the defense to do it. And I think this is going to be the year where, and you kind of alluded to it earlier when we were talking in the opening segment, I think this is going to be a year where, you know, and again, maybe it's an overreaction from me, but I think there's going to be at least 4 or 5, maybe 6 games where it's going to have to be one of those games where it's like, hey, Spags, like, We just, their game plan against ours. Mm-hmm. We don't really have the firepower, at least right now, without, you know, making a trade for somebody, which I think they will do. And we can also tie into that a little bit later as well, as we have some opinions of who they could go get. But this is going to be one of those, you know, one of those years where it's like, you know what? Like, you thought the Chiefs were boring earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They might be a little boring in the next couple of weeks.
Right.
Because their advantage against New Orleans going into that game Monday, which we'll get into more and more as the week goes on, is you stop their firepower and you bring in pressure to Derek Carr, who will be in Kansas City, who doesn't play well here.
Right.
And finally gets to get out of a dome and has to come back to where he doesn't play well in Kansas City. And if you can use your defense to make that advantage and just trust Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And again, I'm not going to say that this week's offense, because they had to completely crumble up their script and throw it away as soon as Rasheed Rice is out. Your number
changes
one target.
The whole game. Yeah. Whole
entire
game's changed.
Game.
Yeah.
But now you can move forward past that. But you also have the luxuriousness to look at Spags and be like, hey, man, this is one of your weeks where you just kind of dominate. You come up with a game plan and we'll react to you instead of, hey, you let the defense react to the offense. Another overreaction that I have is the obvious. You have to go sign a wide receiver one. I understand that people were, you know, flooding my Twitter last night with,
well, there's no wide receiver ones available to be signed, though. That's right. The problem.
Well, you have to go trade for one.
Well,
and I think that there are, you know, guys out there. I made a short list and a short reaction to the situation. A lot of people are like, well, why would certain teams do that? It's like, well, the trade deadline's not till November 6th.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have an entire month of football for teams to kind of literally tell you, are they for real or are they, you know, not? Like, I think Pittsburgh is 3-1. That's fine. I watched Pittsburgh yesterday, and I didn't see a team that I trust to be in contention throughout the season. There's a name in Pittsburgh that you could go get that has a very cheap contract right now that if you were to have him next year, would only be at $1.7 million. That is George Pickens. I'm not saying that they're going to deal him. I'm not saying that they will. They might be 6-2 and by week 8, and maybe they're just like, we're going to, you know, do whatever. That's fine. This is all speculation. The other two names that came up to me with my overreaction is a guy like Deontay Johnson in Carolina. That team is not going to be anywhere.
Right.
That team needs draft picks.
Has nothing from a draft pick standpoint.
That team is okay, I guess, to trade with Kansas City. They're an NFC team. They have no sort of ties to the AFC. They don't have any sort of tiredness with the Kansas City Chiefs. And then the other one is Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I've seen that name float around on Twitter as well because Cleveland's bad.
How bad were they yesterday?
I mean, they're
again,
not good.
My God.
Deshaun Watson cannot be a starting quarterback in the NFL. They need to make the move to Jameis Williams.
Why are you not starting Jameis Winston if you're out there in Cleveland, man? I understand the money thing, but he gives you a better opportunity to win. This Jameis Winston is much better than what we're seeing in Deshaun Watson.
And I think that Amari Cooper could bring light to this offense. I think he still has it. Hell, he just had a game last week where he was absolutely electric back on that offense, where Deshaun Watson finally targeted him and got him involved in that offense. So that's a name. And then my last overreaction is that we finally know Harrison Butker's max distance is 64 yards.
Yeah.
Can't kick 65 yarders,
right,
but he can kick 64 yarders.
Yeah.
Also, terrible work by the camera crew on that field goal miss yesterday.
Yeah, it was
they
bizarre.
They showed it, and then stopped where it missed.
And I was like, wait a second here. Continue to show the.
Even the referees were in disbelief that it didn't win in. They looked at each other for like 17 seconds, like, did it go in?
No good. Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say that my overreactions is Spags is going to be needed way more than we thought he would, at least going into yesterday's game, where he's going to have about 4 or 5 games where it's just like on his shoulders,
right,
which I'm comfortable with doing that. You got to go, you know, trade for a wide receiver one and Harrison Butker.
Yeah, Harrison Butker.
Which is kind of facetious.
My overreaction is, you know, if they trade for a wide receiver, great. If they don't, okay, fine. They'll figure it out somewhere or another. The thing is that, you know, the trades in the NFL are never what we think they're going to be. The trade deadline conversation is so much better than anything that ever happens at the trade deadline, you know, in the NFL. They'll probably end up signing somebody off of somebody's practice squad, and that guy will come in here and be a star player, like seemingly happens all the time, you know, with Brett Veach. There's probably a wide receiver right now on, like, the Carolina practice squad or the Houston practice squad or somebody like that Brett Veach has kind of always had his eye on. And remember, it's a place now where veterans can go and hang out on the practice squad. So if you start to look at some of these practice squads and who some of these wide receivers are, there may be somebody there that you can just go out and sign free and clear.
Mm-hmm.
There may be somebody on the streets that you can go out and sign free and clear, but you're just bringing in a body. You're not going to be bringing in a direct replacement for Rashee Rice. That guy doesn't come into the fold until, you know, Hollywood Brown comes back. And maybe at this point in time, Hollywood Brown tries to find a way to rush that recovery so he can get back for Kansas City and get back into the mix. But Rashee Rice killing or being out does not kill the Chiefs' chances of winning a Super Bowl. I saw a lot of that yesterday. Well, Super Bowl, you know, hopes are dashed. And then I keep thinking, do you have amnesia? Have you paid attention to what has gone on in Kansas City? Like, if you think Rashee Rice being out kills their chances of winning a Super Bowl, then you're just waking up for the first time in Kansas City watching the Chiefs and having that kind of reaction, because there's no team that adjusts better to players getting hurt or players being out than what the Chiefs do. We have seen it on the offensive side of the ball. We have seen it on the defensive side of the ball. This is why having a coach like Andy Reid in this league is so important, because he's not going to let A, his guys panic, and B, he's not going to let his front office panic either. He's not going to let Brett Veach go out there and panic and think they've got to make this huge move. Andy's going to be like, we'll be fine. We'll design plays. We've got guys that we can get the ball to. We didn't have Xavier Worthy a year ago. He's much better than any backup guy that they had a year ago. Travis Kelce, I think, finally showed everybody he still got it, right? He can still play, making the plays that he did yesterday. You're getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. The offense is going to look different than it has over the first couple of weeks of the season, but that's okay. Different doesn't mean bad. It just means you have to find other ways to win. If this was a young head coach or a guy who'd never been here before, I would have my concerns. This team knows how to adjust. This team knows how to adapt, and this team knows how to move forward. Another overreaction that I saw yesterday, and I don't know if this is necessarily an overreaction as much as it is probably the truth right now. Chris Jones is the best player on this team. Somebody tweeted that to me yesterday. I think it's hard to argue right now that there's a better player on this team than Chris Jones. You saw him rise his level of play yesterday and absolutely dominate that line of scrimmage and come through and make big plays when he needed to make big plays. I don't think that's an exaggeration right now. Chris Jones is the best player on this team. And the other I think it's an overreaction. The rest of the league just isn't that good, guys. Like, we continue to look at this league right now. It's a league that is still trying to figure out what teams are about, and why teams are trying to figure out what they're about, the Chiefs just continue to stack wins and find ways to get it done. This league is not loaded with great teams right now. And obviously the Chiefs being where they are have a huge benefit, because they are one of the really, really good teams in this league with a really, really good head coach, really, really good quarterback. And their best player happens to be along the defensive line right now.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And your baseball team also gets to play playoff baseball while you get to wait and react.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You get to watch the playoff baseball and enjoy it. A year ago, 10 years ago
seems
today.
Seems like a year ago.
Seems like it really does. I mean, the 10 years went fast. And, you know, 10 years ago today, as we just played the wild card game, the Royals won their first playoff game in 10 years. And we had a chance to catch up with Ned Yost and kind of look back at what that was. And he kind of discussed his role coming to Kansas City and watching this game unfold.
My whole focus when I first got there was to develop a team that could win. And in order to develop a team that could win, first, they had to learn how to play the game. Then they had to learn how to win. Then they had to learn how to, you know, play 500. Because once you play 500, you got a chance. You got a chance to compete. So they got past that hurdle, and you go from your final step in a championship development team is going from thinking that you're good to knowing that you're good in your heart. And that's a big jump. I mean, you think you're good, you talk yourself into trying to be good, but when you walk through that clubhouse door knowing in your heart that you're good and that you can win and you can compete against anybody, that's the final step that you need to be able to become a champion. And I always felt that that eighth inning of that wild card game was the point where they stepped over from thinking that they were good to believing that they were good. And of course they proved it. They went on that 8-0 run from that point on. But it was a pivotal point, I think, in our development as eventual world champions, you know, American League champions that year, eventual world champions the next year. I think that the turning point was the eighth inning of that wild card game.
Going into the game that day, what were you thinking about that wild card game and what you guys had accomplished up until that point?
Well, it wasn't thinking going into that game. The thinking started about a month out. So we started planning and having little coaches meetings every day, trying to cover every scenario for that game, because back then it was a one game take all. So it was a game that was, you know, full of pressure, full, you know, action packed. It had a lot of meaning to it. And you can go all season long and lose that game and go home, and it doesn't feel like you accomplished anything. So for me, not being in the playoffs for as long as the Royals had been, just because we got into that one wild card game didn't mean anything to me. We had to win that game and to move on. Then it would have felt like we've accomplished something. So we really started thinking about different scenarios a month out, trying to look at different things that we would do, different situations that will come up that we would be able to discuss as a group, so that when that situation happened during that game, we had pretty much had it all pre-thought out. So, again, going into that game, there was a lot of meaning to it for me, because I just felt like if we lost that game, our whole season didn't matter. So there was a lot of importance, a lot of excitement and anticipation, I guess you'd say. But I felt like we were ready to go at it.
You know, you can catch the rest of our interview with Ned Yost and hear exactly how the Yordano situation played out as well. The Yordano Ventura situation, I should say, played out, because I still think 10 years, to the day, people are still wondering and questioning why Yordano Ventura was in that sixth inning, even though we've regaled the story for many years and Ned has told the story for many years. He went through the entire story again of why they used Yordano Ventura in that sixth inning, and it wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. It was something that they had planned out for weeks, that this was the guy that they were going to go to, because they knew they could get five out of James Shields, and they knew they could get 7, 8, 9. What were they going to do about that sixth inning? And you'd like for James Shields to be able to go six in that situation, but he goes, yeah, I'm done. I started the sixth inning. It wasn't going so good. So he had to pull himself out of that game. And then they ended up giving up five runs, in that sixth inning, and still found a way to come back and win what truly was an unbelievable baseball game that kind of set up the next 2 years of baseball in Kansas City. And Dusty, I don't know how you feel about that, but like, if they don't win that wild card game, maybe 2015 doesn't happen. I mean, that set the table for so much and gave that team so much momentum. And Ned talked about that eighth inning being when he realized this team finally clicked and realized they knew what it took to win baseball games.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think there's a lot of, I talk about it all the time, is, sometimes, failing can make you that much better in the future.
No question, yeah.
A lot of people look back at the first AFC Championship game with Patrick Mahomes. You lost to Tom Brady in your house. If he wins that game and they win a Super Bowl, good question to have. Do they go on this run?
Who knows? Yeah.
They lost that game. They came back the very next year, won the Super Bowl. Came back the very next year, lost the Super Bowl. Then lost at home, and then win-win.
Win-win.
Seems like every time they lose in a big situation, they come back even stronger.
Right.
And the Royals did that. They were 90 feet and 14 from, you never know.
You never know.
Then the next year, they win the pennant, they win the AL, they go to the World Series, and they win the whole thing.
I mean, does the wild card game and winning that game help them in game four in Houston? I got to think it does, right? Like, if you're in that dugout in game four in Houston a year later, and you're down, you're like, we were down in the wild card game, right? We came back in the eighth inning of a wild card game and figured out a way to win.
Yeah.
So I do think that wild card win is obviously the most important that group of Royals saw, but it did, it did propel them. And probably the same thing with the Chiefs. Like, you hate playing that, that space-time continuum type of thing, and people go, oh, they could have had another Super Bowl. You don't know that they were going to win that Super Bowl. You don't know how everything else would have played out had they won that game against the New England Patriots.
I am interested to know what you people on the text line, 913-586-7965, what you were doing on Friday night when the inevitable did happen and we all got to sit back and watch as the champagne started to pour in that Royals locker room. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens.
You know your name.
That's right. We're all here with you. Be sure you go down to our YouTube page and subscribe, as if we get 100 subscribers a day, we get free lunch from the boss. Coming up on the other side, sometimes it's okay to let loose, as some of the guys did in that locker room. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. It is a 10-year anniversary of the last time the Royals won a wild card game. I guess the first time they won a wild card game in 29 years.
Yep.
Salvador Perez down the third base line. you remember the game. Hosmer hit one to left field. The two guys collapsed in each other's arms. He gets all the way to third. You could have heard all that audio leading into this show. So good job there by the boss, putting that on the radio for you to hear this morning. Yep. As tomorrow it gets really real. I told you today. Today's your day that you get to relax. Have a nice dinner with your family.
Yep.
Zero stress.
Nothing. Nothing to worry about today.
Chiefs won. They're 4-0. They got some work to do, obviously. Royals will play tomorrow as they go into Baltimore as underdogs.
I love the 3 o'clock starts that we're going to get as well.
Some people not so much.
Well, I think it's fantastic. I mean, the Astro fans are complaining that they have an early game at 1 o'clock. I would have taken the early game as well. I don't care. As long as we're not playing these late night games, these are good. Right in the middle of the day, people are going to be out and about doing their thing. You want to join us at Jefferson's over in Lenexa. That's where we're going to be for the next couple of days on Tuesday and Wednesday and possibly Thursday if we have to play. You know, that third game, but you want to come out and watch the games with us. That's where we're going to be having a lot of fun. And you know what? This is the best time of year, man. Playoff baseball, as I said in the video we put up on social media, playoff baseball is awesome. Playoff baseball in Kansas City is just spectacular. To have your team alive in the postseason is just absolutely the best thing in sports, man. There's nothing better than October baseball, and I'm here for all the October baseball we can get. And I don't know what kind of expectation you have going into this thing, but my expectation is to just enjoy it. Whatever happens, happens. I like not being the team that everybody thinks is going to win it all. Kind of feels like 2014, Dusty, all over again. We woke up that Monday morning. We did the show out at Kauffman Stadium, spent all day out there. It was a very, very long day leading up to that game time. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody had expectation. I think everybody just was happy that playoff baseball was back for at least a night in Kansas City. And then it turned into the greatest game, you know, we've ever seen. And I was just telling our friend Janae on Twitter this morning that if you go to another baseball game and see a great playoff game and you were at that wild card game is always going to be the best baseball game you ever attended. I don't know what could be better than being at that wild card game that night in Kansas City, watching the Royals win that game and erase 29 years of just terribleness, if you will, in one swing of the bat by Salvador Perez. So my expectation going into this playoff, Dusty, just to have fun, man. Like, let's see what happens. And if we advance, we advance. If we don't, hey, you know what? It was a great season. But if we advance, everything that this team does is just whipped cream on top of that damn froyo.
Yeah, that's what we tried to tell you a couple weeks ago.
Go ahead and mark this, Mac. September 19th, 8:15 in the morning. Dusty Likens here. Guarantee you the Royals will play playoff baseball on October 1st.
There you go. So should be a fun one on Tuesday. It was a fun one watching them clinch in a weird way, right?
Yeah. It was weird, right?
Yeah. I had a guy attack me on Twitter. Why? Which is fine. I don't know, because I was just like, Baltimore, the Twins are 9 outs away from the Royals, winning the wild card spot. And of course, it's like, well, it's kind of funny watching somebody pry on the loss to make it to the wild card. It's like, no, that's just how magic numbers work.
How it works, pal. Go back to
your
cave.
Like, they were like, actually, it's a tragic number. I was like, no, it's magic. Have a nice night. Yeah. But it was nice.
Was it Twins fans or was it like,
I don't know.
Trolls.
Somebody
needs a friend?
Probably.
Yeah,
I mean, the loser. The last picture they had before they come after my tweets was, this is what a real baseball fan looks like. And it was that old guy in Oakland that says, I was here for the first pitch in the stadium and I was here for the last.
Is that a real baseball fan or just an old person?
And then it was just like, the caption was like, this is what a real baseball fan looks like. Not like one of those bandwagon Royals fans.
Oh,
and I was like,
on.
Oh, my.
Okay. All right. All right.
That's why that night I was on the same level as, maybe Schreiber was.
John Schreiber has joined the party.
How are the Kansas City fans doing? I really want to know.
I think everybody is very happy right now. I don't know if they're having as much fun as you. Oh, my. Hi, Freddie. This is quite the party. What do you think?
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. For everybody in Kansas City, it's the best.
Congratulations. We got the GM on the field. I think we better go.
I think my wife is watching at home.
Give her a shout out.
Rebecca. Becca.
Whatever your name is.
Charlie, my son. I love him. Let's keep going.
Congrats, Tribes.
Thank you.
I love it. I love that. There's a couple of reasons why I love it. One, I can only imagine what it's like to play 160 games to finally have that feeling.
Right.
Like, that's just one of those things. You've done radio for a long time, and to do it for month in, month on, month out, and then to have your boss be like, hey, by the way, you're the number one show in Kansas City.
Right.
You're like,
That feels pretty good. You know, I'm gonna have a celebratory, you know, cocktail or two. And if I'm a little loose tonight, Jen, so I'll see my way out. You know, and you get to see these players do this, and you know, you love it because of what the season was and how long it took to get there, and to finally have that. We did it. We were gonna do this. We wanted to do this, and we had some scares, but we're here. The other thing is that, you know, athletes are viewed on such a different level.
Oh, God, yes.
Right? Like, you hear it all the time from negativity and positivity. Like, negativity, it's like, oh, these guys make all this money. They should be able to do this. Like, well, again, they're humans, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, to see a little bit to that come to fruition is when you see them in a locker room and champagne's flying around and everybody's having a good time and they're pouring alcohol on everybody else. And I get it. Maybe not everybody's a huge fan of that, but
get over it.
To see the euphoria in that locker room and to see this team kind of be able to let its guard down, and like to see Vinny Pasquantino shirtless, drenched in champagne,
right?
Hammered. To see Bobby Witt Jr. imitating Joe Burrow with the two Budweiser cans on his head.
You're smoking like smoking a cigar.
That's
and all
the
that.
Most personality we've seen from Bobby Witt
and
Jr.
And it was good to see that
ever.
Yeah.
And like you get to kind of sit back and have that moment. And I remember when I watched that happen, I was, you know, in my chair and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pour a nice glass because, you know, we did this show. We've been riding this Royals, you know, cruise ship all season long. And to finally be able to sit back and hold that glass in your hand and say, damn it, they're finally here. And now it's, you know, playoff baseball.
It's playoff baseball.
And
yeah.
It's going to be hectic. It's going to be nervous. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fast.
Enjoyable.
It's going to be just enjoy it.
I cannot wait for Tuesday at 3:00.
Yeah, I know. Just enjoy this, guys. I mean, and that's what I'll say for those who weren't alive or around or, you know, old enough in 14 and you may have you missed what that was all about. You've got to enjoy these moments. And I'll preach that same message that I preached in 14 because you don't know how long this kind of stuff is going to last. I mean, we've been very spoiled with the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Very spoiled. This is not normal to see a team stay on top for as long as they have in professional sports. And as we know with the Royals in 14 and 15, I mean, it happened like this. But everybody's memory is still like it was yesterday. Everybody can tell you exactly what they were doing in October of 14 and where they were in October of 15 and where they were for certain moments and whatnot. And it's just one of those deals where you've got to enjoy these moments and savor these moments. Because as we know, on the baseball side, it doesn't happen a lot. Now, hopefully this is the jumping off point for an organization that sustains success for the next decade, and they're back in the playoffs every single year, and we're getting to the point where we're like, okay, another year in the playoffs, this is great, we kind of get used to it. But I don't think anybody in Kansas City right now should act like they're used to playoff baseball, because it's been 9 years since we've had playoff baseball. So you got to enjoy this, you've got to celebrate, you got to act like the players do. And I love when baseball players celebrate that way. I think it's the coolest thing to see a team that battled and battled and battled have the ability to celebrate their successes. And a lot of times, it's not done that way in sports. Like in the NFL, you don't do that after every big win in the postseason like you do in baseball. Mm-hmm. And I love baseball for it. And for those who complain about that kind of stuff, maybe sports just isn't for you. I'm not going to sit here and be an advocate for people to sit around and go, I can't believe they're drinking and doing all that kind of stuff. They're grown adults, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're celebrating their hard work just like anybody would, as you mentioned, at the office. You get a big sale, you get a big moment, you have a good quarter, you celebrate those kind of moments. And if the way that the Royals or baseball players celebrate isn't for you, then go do your own thing somewhere else. But don't tell others how to celebrate. Don't
turn
tell
it
others.
Off.
Yeah, or just turn it off.
Yeah.
Like the people out there who sit there and go, oh, this is not acceptable. What does it mean for the children? Be a parent. Parent your children and tell them how you want them to live. Don't sit there and complain about baseball players celebrating and spraying champagne and being drunk and all that kind of stuff, because that is, as you mentioned, 160 games of just being able to breathe. And what it's like every day battling to get to where they are and coming off 106 losses and all that. I just don't have the time for people to tell me that baseball players can't celebrate. Sorry about that. Go about your own business and drink your grape juice, but let everybody else go out here and celebrate the way we want to celebrate, because it doesn't happen that often.
Well, I just remember that from like all the parades, like, oh my God, hammered. It's like 8:00. It's like, okay.
So what?
Put your body in a blender.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your talent?
Yeah, exactly. What does this mean for the children?
Hopefully not watching.
Yeah. Good Lord. It drives me up a wall, man. It really does. It just drives me up a wall when people complain about that kind of stuff. Yeah. Let them party. Let them celebrate. Let them have fun.
We'll keep diving into this Royals thing because I have to tell you, man, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And the season's not over. It is just beginning. As well as the Chiefs, we dive into the Chiefs and Royals because that's what this city is all about for this entire week. For now, could be longer. Hopefully it is. Fesco, Dusty, Mac, this is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.